late, and it's too much. Then he, right? I compare sort of like the first credit card. Now, it's, instead of paying in one shot, what do you have? 24 payments, 36 payments. Got it? You have time. There's a, I'm hinting to a midrash about chet egel. Remember what Chazal said about chet egel? Every generation makes a little payment. You heard that one? No, it's for chet egel. That's what's behind it. Now, that's midat adin. We're not absolving sin. What? But we're making the less intense, and that gives you time to balance things out. Got it? That's the difference. Now, if Ebenezer's saying that what God is saying now, I'm judging you from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, then what happened? Am Yisrael just went down a league. They talk about those still? There's high leagues, like there's the junior league and the upper league and the big leagues. They still play sports in there? Okay. Now, what's the difference? In the high leagues, right? It's much more intense. In the lower leagues, you're less. In order for Am Yisrael to survive, what do they have to do? You have to go down a league. In Brit Sinai, right? You're under scrutiny every day. You're on a high level. Now you're lower echelon. Now, you know, Ebenezer is hinting to, it's not either God has hashkachar or doesn't. It's not that either God has a relationship or doesn't. It's a question of intensity. Brit Sinai was an intense relationship. When Brit Sinai is broken, we default to a less intense relationship, like God has with all the other nations. Every nation is judged, but not to the same intensity as Am Yisrael. Got the idea? So that's what seems to be happening. Now we have to ad-lib again, and this is the best part, but we have to do it, I mean, as far as it's most interesting in a textual study, but again, not within a time frame that we have. Okay, what did God just say? God just said, listen, it's not going to work. God sort of gives up. It's not going to work, therefore, Brit Sinai is broken. Okay, and what should Moshe do? What did God tell Moshe to do? Take the people, make Aliyah, but without God. What we called Herzl's dream come true. I'm not using it to make fun of Herzl. I'm just saying it as an analogy to understand what the situation would have been. Okay, what's wrong with that situation? What's so bad about it? What? So what? So Brit Sinai. Okay. Put it this way: what's the relationship between Brit Avot and Brit Sinai? Right. The whole purpose of Brit Avot was in order, right? That should be a Brit Sinai, right? Why did God didn't choose Avram to be a nation just to be a nation, just for survival? The purpose of Jewish nation isn't just to survive; it's to accomplish. Right? And if you don't have Brit Sinai, you're not going to accomplish your goal. The idea isn't just to have a homeland. Right? The idea is to accomplish something with that homeland. Right? To make a name for God. And if God's not in your midst, you're not going to get your job done. So what point is there? What point is an apartment what point is there? If you're not going to accomplish the goal there. And therefore, Moshe enters a beautiful tefillah. We don't have time to read it. Moshe's famous tefillah, Re'ah Tomer, that. And there's one line that Moshe says. I'm going to quote one line. He gives him a whole thing. He says, listen. Moshe says, listen, how am I supposed to go? Moshe says, I'm caught here. You told me that what? My letter of appointment was, I'm a Shmi B'Kirbo. Right? Now you're telling me to lead the people, what? And you're not coming. So what am I now? Shmi B'Kirbo, not Shmi B'Kirbo, right? It's not going to work. Because you didn't tell me who you're sending. And it's me, it can't be me because I'm Shmi B'Kirbo. But it can't not be me because you told me to lead them. Here's the whole thing. Then he gives one last punch. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Re'eh, he tells God now. Remember God said, Re'iti Ata'am? God reached the conclusion. Moshe tells God, I want you to read a different conclusion. What? He says, Re'eh, ki amcha ha-goy hazeh. What's he tell God? Listen, this nation is not my nation. I didn't choose them. What? You did. They're your nation. And basically, Moshe hits him hard. I mean, loved him. Right? What's he say? He says, you can't walk out on them. Why? They're your nation. It's impossible. It doesn't make sense. You can't leave them. And God says, you know what? I'll be with you. You'll be with them. We'll do like a little transitive property. Moshe says, no. Moshe says, if you remember the pasuk, if you're not coming with all of us, we're moving. No, we're on strike. I'll translate quickly. Basically, God says, Moshe tells God, if you don't come with all of us, there's no point in anything. Right? Moshe, in essence, is saying what? There's no point in Brit Avot without Brit Sinai. Okay. Now we're in a catch 22. Everyone knows what that is, I hope. I never saw them. It was a movie, wasn't it? Or something? I never saw that one. But everyone knows what it is. I think the word's a quandary. Something like that. Okay. Catch 22 makes more sense. What's the catch 22? We're stuck. Why? No matter how we cut the cake, we're in trouble. If God comes with them, what'll happen? If God's presence is there, if we bring back Brit Sinai with all its intensity, what'll happen? We won't survive. You sin, you'll punish your sin. You won't. You can't stay in this pilot course. You can't become, right? You can't do it, right? You're not going to, because if you do it, you'll get punished. On the other hand, if God doesn't come with them, there's no point in them coming in. They can't stay in the desert forever. Right? What are we going to do? You follow? That's the key point. Let me repeat it. Okay? We're in a catch. We're stuck. No matter what we do, we're in trouble. If God brings back a Shekhinah, it's not going to work. If God doesn't bring back a Shekhinah, there's no point in the nation. How are we going to solve the problem? Guess what enters now? Now we get Midot HaRachamim. You understand? Midot HaRachamim are coming to solve an impossible situation. You got that? That's the key point of this year. And then we'll see it in the words in a minute. Right? We have a situation which can't be. Let me use a word from Yom Kippur, Pasuk from Yom Kippur, if you know Laning. HaShochen itam betoch tumatam. How can God's presence be with a nation? Hur tameh. How can God have his presence in a house that doesn't, it's not befitting for him? It just won't work. But what do we need to do? We need to create a situation where God's presence can be with a nation. We need an intense relationship, a high level. Without what? Without immediate punishment. Without paying the price for it. Got it? What's Moshe Rabbeinu demanding? I want the privileges, right? I want you in our midst, and I don't want to pay the price for it. I don't know. I want to be able to walk into fire and not get burnt. I'm getting to what Yom Kippur's about. But what will allow that? What there's only one thing can allow that. God has to allow an intense relationship without the price of immediate punishment. Which means what? That's exactly Midat HaRachamim. In what relationship? In God's relationship with the nation. In the relationship of Brit Sinai. Right? Therefore, what's God tell Moshe Rabbeinu? I'm listening to you, and therefore what? It says, Hini avir kol tuviyah panecha. If you know the psukim from Davening, or from Chumash also. V'rukati b'shem Hashem lefanecha. V'chanoti et asher achon v'chanoti asher achon. That's the pasuk you were talking about. No, right? That's only after all this. But to appreciate Midot HaRachamim, okay, you understand? You have to understand when they're coming in. They're coming to allow a situation which doesn't make sense, right? If you want to go back to Har Sinai, remember where's the first time in Chumash we met Har Sinai? Remember Moshe in the burning bush? What was the first our first encounter with Har Sinai? What's Moshe see? Remember? Also, you have the word to see, right? Hine asne bo er ba'esh. I have an impossible situation. I have something organic that's burning, right? And it's not being destroyed. Something should be destroyed. Something in this intense relationship, fire. And something organic, right? And it shouldn't work, but it remains. Right? That's like sort of hinting to what happens at Har Sinai. Now, if we had time, we'd talk about there's a price, the immediate pasuk afterwards, when God says, I'm going to give Midat HaRachamim, then God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, by the way, no more face-to-face. Remember? Lo Yirani Adam, you can't see my face. What can you see only? You know the psukim? Only my back. If I understand that correctly, what I think it is, when you speak face-to-face, there's a sense of clarity. You understand what you're saying. You see that? If someone's talking to you with his back to the wall, or with his face to the wall, and his back to you, then you hear what he's saying, but it's not as clear. What's my point? If God's midot are din, then it's very clear who God is. Right? If you sin, you're punished. Right? You do good, you're rewarded. It's crystal clear who God is. If you're in a situation where you don't get punished right away, you might not get rewarded right away, then what happens? There's a lack of clarity already in the relationship. If you don't get punished, you're not sure why. Maybe because I didn't do anything wrong, or maybe because God was nice to me. It's not so clear anymore. It's a very difficult point, but I'm just hinting to it. But there's the relationship is more of what's called like a love relationship, but it's not clear. And the thing like she loves me, what's it say? The four clover things? There's certain doubt, right? In a love relationship, there's always a certain sense of doubt that accompanies it, right? And that's a question already, what relationship is really more human and more intense, but that's more for, that's a shir in philosophy, not in Chumash. It relates to it, but now we can't go into it. What happens? What happened now is that God says, you know what? I'll bring my Shekhinah back. I'll return my Shekhinah. I'm willing to do it. In order to allow, to enable, that's the word, right? To enable God to bring back a Shekhinah, we need to change the rules, right? We can't have such strict criteria anymore, right? We'll let people in, what do you call it, right? We'll let people in who don't deserve to be in. Okay? We'll lower our dress code or, you know, make up anything you want to compare it to. We're going to lower our standards. I heard what's going on, okay. We'll lower our standards in order to make it more accessible for everybody else. Right, that's a nice plan, nice idea, but it'll cause problems. Okay? So there, what's God saying? I'm going to allow through Midot HaRachamim, I'll allow my Shekhinah to turn, even though what? Right, even though you're not perfect, And what will happen when you sin? What will God do? He doesn't say he'll automatically give you mercy. What's he say? V'chanoti et asher achon, v'chanoti asher achem. What's he say? There's a possibility of mercy. God doesn't promise mercy. What's he say? We're giving it now to the discretion of the judge. Got it? Now then, it's not automatic punishment, but what? If it's not, there's no discretion to the judge anymore. You sin, you're punished. Now, if you sin, you deserve punishment. Now we'll take a look. And now you have to go and make a case for what do you call it? No, if you want, for clemency, you have to make a good case. We call that davening, yeah. It's just a little louder. The first, here, this story right here. Midat HaRachamim is right here. We'll get that at the end. Right? No, it doesn't say that in Chumash. That's a Medrash of Chazal. Right? But what I want to show you when we finish is that Medrash of Chazal is based on this shir. Right? Okay, but let that take me another 4 or 5 minutes. Okay? I was going to get that. I've never given that shir without someone asking that question, by the way. So I knew it was going to come. That usually comes a little bit earlier even, right up front. Okay. I want to use that to appreciate Midrashim. Where do we have? Okay, now. Therefore, God says, God promises Moshe Rabbeinu, okay, we can change our rules of our midot, right? Our midot? I won't be so strict. What do we need to do now? In the meantime, technically speaking, Brit Avot is broken. Now we call the lawyers. We have to do, we got to drop a new document. Now we go back to laning. You know, people who know laning, Psolacha, right? What's got to Moshe Rabbeinu now in chapter 34? Make 2 new tablets, right? Right? And write them again. Right? And come up to the mountain, and we're going to redo the whole ceremony. We're going to make a whole new ceremony, right? Just like the first one. No one comes up with you, and there'll be H, the whole, remember the whole stuff? Now, what should change? Do the Ten Commandments have change? Right? The commandments don't have to change, right? Chabal, they couldn't get rid of the Tachmud or something, but they, okay. But they, you understand? They didn't have to be changed. But what? What needs to change? What? The Midot, right? And therefore, what do we have? Now Moshe goes up again, right? And now we're ready for Shmot Lamed Daled. Okay? Vayavor Hashem al panav vayikra. No, I should have put one more pasuk in there, right? Moshe, I should have done all the whole parallel to Mamad Har Sinai. Moshe vayikain, vayared Hashem banan. Remember? Vayitetzevi Mosham. Vayikra b'Hashem b'Hashem. God comes down just like he did at Har Sinai. But instead of declaring what? The Ten Commandments, right? What do he have to declare now? The First Amendment, okay? Or the 13 Amendments. Got it? You understand? I have the same laws, but what? Now I have an amendment. That what? Together with these laws, there's also a possibility of rachamim. Okay? What do we have here? Hashem ke rachum v'chanun erachapayim v'rav chesed v'amen notze chesed alafim notze v'am v'chulei. I'm reading fast because you know the psukim. Came v'poked avon v'chulei. Got it? Now, what I want to show you now is the fun part. Now we can look at the table. What I want to show you, these words that Chumash chose, or that God chose, to declare his midot rachamim are not by chance. The words we say all the time by heart are coming right out of Chumash. And I want to show you the beautiful contrast between the ABCs that we did before. In other words, remember we went through it from Mamad Har Sinai, from the Ten Commandments, we found God's attributes? I want to show you how all the attributes flip around, one at a time. That God's midot of rachamim are 100% flip around from his midot of din. Okay? Let's review them to remember. Remember what was the first one we saw? Hashem was Elkanah. He was Poked Avon L'Sonai. Oseh Chesed Lo Avai. Remember? We had Lo Yenakeh, we had Ki Lo Yisal Pishechem, and we had Charonaf. Remember? Now watch what happens. Okay, I know what order. Let's go in the order of the pasuk. I did it two ways, and we do it two ways. Okay, do the one on the right. No. Do the one on the left. Okay. Now the one on the left goes in the order. You know, see, I have to go in which order to go in. Okay. So let's follow the 13 midot of Rachamim. That's the easier way to do it. Okay. See the table on the left. Got it. Hashem, Hashem, Kerachum, Mechanun. Okay, that's the first midah, right? That's how it begins. Okay, what's it in contrast to? Hashem before him was what? God said he was an Elkanah. Remember, before it says, remember the Dibrod? Ki Anochi Hashem Elkanah? Now what is he? Anochi Hashem El Rachum Vechanun. It's exactly the opposite. A zealous God, quick to anger, what's he now? Merciful, he'll take his time. Merciful, will give you another chance. Based on Vachanoti et Asherachon, Rechamti Asherachem, right? What's next? Erech Apayim. What's that mean? Slow to anger. Erech Apayim is slow to anger, as opposed to what? Charonaf. That's the same words but flipped around. Right? Charonaf is quick to anger. Right? Remember Af Hashem? Af Hashem is God's name. Charonaf is quick to anger. Erech Apayim, slow to anger. Rav Chesed Be'emet. It's very interesting. We have Rav Chesed and Notzer Chesed. Now, first let's go back to what we had in the Ten Commandments. What do we have in the Ten Commandments? Ose Chesed. Ose means what? To do. And who gets Chesed? Ohavai. We don't have Ose Chesed now, and we don't have Ohavai. What do we have? What's Rav Chesed? A Rav is someone who does more than he needs, right? A Rav means more, right? He does more. Remember, Rav Lachem. But God gives Chesed to who? More than what's deserving. Not to Ohavai, to who? To anybody. And he's also Notzer Chesed. You know what Notzer means? Notzer means to hold back. Like Atzor, you know, like a stop sign. God holds back Chesed as well. What happens? What's that mean? Sometimes people get Chesed who don't deserve. Some people, God's Chesed for them will be held up for later on. You won't see it right away. Chazal uses to talk about what's called Tzadik V'Ra'lo, Rasha V'Tovlo. You've heard that? You can have a Tzadik, right? Things go bad for him, and Rasha, things go good for him. In the end, again, when you do that whole integral, it'll all even out. That's why we have to add what midah here? Emet. Because when you have Rav Chesed and Notzer Chesed, it appears to be a lack of emet, and therefore we have to balance it with emet. But that's over an integral, if you know what I'm talking about in math. If not, it can help. You understand the idea? No, in one instant moment, you might not see emet, but over a whole integral, like over infinite amount of time, everything will work out. Yeah, see the difference? As opposed to Ose Chesed Lo Havai, now it's Chesed for everybody, for those who deserve and don't deserve. Okay. The next one is what? Nosei Avon V'Pesha V'Chata'a. Now God will carry away. That's exact opposite of what? Ki Lo Yisal L'Pishechem. Got it? Before Moshe, God will not carry away sin. Now what is he? Now he's Nosei Avon V'Pesha. Okay, got it? The next midah was V'Nakeh Lo Yinakeh. Before it was what? Lo Yinakeh. Now what's God say? Sometimes he'll menakeh, sometimes he won't. Rashi says on the spot, who he will absolve, who will be clean, menakeh, for who? People who do tshuva. And no menakeh for people who don't do tshuva. But there's a possibility of lenakot. Okay? And the last one, which seems to be difficult, we have poket avon avon, again, also we have, but there's a big difference. Before it was poket avon the sonai, now it's done poket avon. And Chazal understand exactly the opposite. Before, what did it mean? God punishes you and your children and grandchildren. What does he say now? He won't punish you right away. What he'll do? He'll wait a generation. Second, he'll wait to the grandchildren or the great-grandchildren. And if after four generations they're still sinning, then he'll punish you. Why did Chazal have to say that? In the context, every other midah here is din terachamim, so this can't be different. Okay? What did God do? He changes midot of din terachamim. But you see what happened? Echad echad. Each one after the other. You follow the logic? Okay. I wonder, you see what happened? The choice of words in the 13 minutes of Rachim are not by chance. They're the exact flip, right, of all the words we had before. Maybe go through Chumash and check me out, right, if there are any other midot beforehand. But from the time of Mamar Har Sinai, straight through, those are the midot. Now, with the exception of midot on an individual level in Parsha Mishpatim, I told you that was an exception, in his relationship with Am Yisrael as a nation. Now, let's review it the flip way around, on the right table. Okay? We had Hashem Elchech was, remember, on the left side, on the right table, on the right side, we have all the things we saw. Hashem was Elkanah, Poked Avono, Sechesel Alafim, Lo Yinakel, Ki Lo Yisal, Lo Yicharon. That flipped around. Instead of Elkanah, it's Erachum V'Chanun. Poked Avono Sonai, now it's Poked Avon Avot. In the positive sense, he'll wait. O Sechesel Alafim, Lo Havai, now it's Rav Chesed, Notzer Chesed. Not only to Havai. Okay. Lo Yinakel, now it's Benakel, Lo Yinakel. Lo Yisal is now Nosei Avon. And instead of Yicharon, we have Erech Apayim. Got it? Okay. That's the cute part of the. That's simply, question. The first two? To the Malach. And what's the Malach? The Malach is Shmi B'Kirbo. But let me explain something I should have explained beforehand. We need that for the next pasuk anyhow, right? What did God say before? This malach, if the malach is shmi b'kirbo, what's it mean? That this malach is though I'm there. Okay? And what he says is what I'm saying. And what he punished like I'm punishing. Okay? Now, what did God say next? God said that I'm not going to go with you. Okay? Ki lo aleh b'kirbocha. In other words, first God said, ki shmi b'kirbo means my presence is with this malach. The next malach is what? I'm going to send a malach, ki lo aleh b'kirbocha, because I'm not going to go with you. This is a much lower level malach. Now, according to the punishment after Chet Ega, what did God say? Remember what God said? I'm not coming with you. Remember what did God say? Let's go back now and look in Pasuk. Go back to source 4, the bottom of source 4. Pasuk Gimel. Shmot Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Gimel. Eler Sabat Chalabud Vash. Again, words highlighted. What did God say? Kilo al ebikir b'cha, kiam k'shor afata, penachacha badarach. What did God say? I'm not going to go with you. Why? Because if I go with you, and you're an amksharef, what'll happen? Because I'm amksharef, it won't work. It was, what's a constant through this whole story? God's conclusion that Am Yisrael is an amksharef. That doesn't change. It's easier for God to change his midot than Am Yisrael to change our behavior. That's Jewish history also. Okay? Unfortunate. Yeah. A Malach Hashem is not one specific person. A Malach Hashem is anyone who God sends. Anyone who's a messenger, a direct messenger of God who does the thing. It could be, that's why some people, sometimes in Parshanim, they give them names. One's Gavriel, and they, that's another interpretation of it. But in general, Malach is someone sent by God. And that's not necessarily somebody with wings. In other words, usually it's a human sent by God. Okay, yeah. Someone who does exactly what God tells them to do. Like someone who does a tzaddik is like a malach. Why? He does exactly what God told him. Like someone without any yetzahara turns into a malach, or without any bechir chofshit. Okay, now, look what happens now. Go back to source 5. God declares his midot of rachamim. I called it to what's called he enables, right, his return. What's Moshe going to do now? Moshe hears God's declaration. He wants to cash in. Now, what was bothering Moshe Rabbeinu all along? How can we go to the land of Israel what? Without you? Listen to what Moshe says. Okay? Pasuk Chet. Vayemer Moshe, Vayikod Atzav Eishtachu. Source 5, Shmot Lamed Aleph. Vayemer Moshe, Vayikod Atzav Eishtachu. What's Moshe do? Moshe quickly goes, bows down, says thank you. Now listen what he asks for. Vayomer. Imna matzatichem beinecha Hashem, right? If indeed I found favor in your eyes, what's he ask for now? Yelechna Hashem bekirbeinu. What's that mean? Come on back. That's what he wanted. Why couldn't have God done that beforehand? Because if he did it beforehand, what we read before, penachacha badarach, right? It won't work. If God comes with you, right, be destroyed because you're namksharef. What's he say now? Now that there's middle to rachamim, what's Moshe Rabbeinu ask for? Now, come on back. Yilechna shebikirbeinu. What's ki amksharefu mean? What's the word ki mean now? It can't mean because. It wouldn't make sense. What's it mean? Even though, despite. And there's a beautiful play in words here, using the word key. Key is here like a keyword, pun intended. Okay? Got it? Okay? What's Moshe's tefillah? Right? God, come back to our midst, even though we're in Amkshe Oref, right? Which is exactly parallel to what God said before. Remember at the end of Source 4, Kilo Ale Becher Becha, because you're in Amkshe Oref. I'm not going to go with you because you're in Amkshe Oref. That was Moshe asked now. Please come back with us. Why? Even though we're in Amkshe Oref. Then how? Now, because why? Because now you can forgive our sins. So basically, what in essence has happened? Right? Now we have a possibility for to be with the Shekhinah. Now, if Am Yisrael sins, they still deserve punishment. And sometimes they might get punished. God's not saying we always have midot rachamim. But what? Now there's a possibility of rachamim. Why would God give rachamim? Right? If you can show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you deserve it. Okay? Then you get rachamim. Okay, let me give you an example of what we say now in Slichot. El Melech Yoshev Kisei Rachamim. Right? God has two. Yeah, we set our purpose, right? God has two chairs. Right? Kisei Adin, Kisei Rachamim. That's exactly our point. We're not saying God has only Midat Rachamim. God can work, has different acting. God can act in different ways in this relationship. Sometimes he can be mean, sometimes he can be strict, sometimes he can be lenient. But you have to give him a reason to be lenient. Right? What's the reason? El Melech Yoshev Rachamim. Moche Avonot Amo. Right? Ma'avir Rishon Rishon. Now, what's he do? What's Ma'avir Rishon Rishon mean? When he sees each case in front of him, each thing he did wrong, what do we want him to do? One at a time. Now, what happens if someone does the same thing over and over again? What's that show? That shows that he really doesn't care. If you make one mistake, okay, you're human, you made a mistake, right? So fine, I'll look it over. Now, if you can prove to God if you made a mistake, it was a one-time thing. Okay? It wasn't a way of life, it was simply, I'm human, I'm sorry, I won't do it again. I understand, right? Okay. That's my very Rishon Rishon. But if it's the same thing over and over again, hey, same thing, same what's going on here. Why forgive him again? It's not worth it. Then we'll go back to Din. Therefore, my Rishon, my Vir Michila, b'chulei lachatayim. Okay. Then we say, El Horeta Lenu Lomar Shos Yisrael. What did God teach us at Har Sinai? He taught us to say the 13 midot. What do we say next? Uzchor lanu hayom. What's that mean? Uzchor lanu brit shlosh esrei. We ask God to remember the brit. What brit is shlosh esrei? That's exactly what we read today, right? The second luchot, right, is a covenant. It's brit Sinai again with a new set of rules, with the possibility of rachamim. Got it? Okay. What's that brit shlosh esrei? Kamosha adat alavatenu mikedem. That's kasher adat alanav mikedem. Like you told anavizu is Moshe Rabbeinu. Kamosha katuv. Okay. What's it? Finish for me. We read right from Shemot Lamed Aleph. Got it? That's what we say in Davin. That's exactly how we lead into the Gimel Midot. Got the point? That's it. Now, I want to talk about one last thing about how to understand Midot Rachamim. Why God should give Rachamim? When we talked about Mamad Har Sinai, Brit Sinai, right? We talked about there was a covenant, right? There was a covenant before the laws. I want to make a distinction between the covenant itself and the laws that come with it. I'll use an example because I'm an American or a group American. Or, I mean, states, everyone, it's all North America. But I learned from, maybe you guys have the same thing. There's this constitution. You have one here? Constitution? Okay. There's a constitution and there's a preamble to the constitution. Right? Now, what's in the preamble? What usually, or even in, if there's a lawyer around here, two companies decide to do a merger, or you make an agreement. Before you get to the, right, when two companies decide to merger, you make a work agreement or something, what do you need? You need a set of laws and bylaws, etc. But before you get into the whole thing, what do you put up top? The purpose of it, right? A mission statement. You have a mission statement, and then how to make it happen, right? The mission statement is, you're my nation. That's Atem tu li la'am, I'll be your God. That's the mission statement. But a mission statement by itself won't get the job done. A mission statement needs what? Needs a set of bylaws. You can have the greatest ratzon. Everyone can agree on the mission statement. But if you don't have a set of laws, right, which will help accomplish that goal, it'll stay as a dream. It won't happen. It won't be real. It's called hakshama. It won't be realized. Now, in order for the mission to work, I can understand why God would need midot adin. I have to enforce these laws. Remember? A set of laws come with a set of enforcement. When you want to go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and do what? And say, listen, I made a mistake. What would make sense? What's God looking for? If you identify with a mission statement, even though you broke a law, that's reason for clemency. You understand? If you come to God and say, listen, I understand the purpose, I understand the goal, I understand, identify with the mission, but I'm human, I make mistakes, so give me another chance, because my goal remains, I continue to identify with the goal. That gives a reason for rachamim. Right? But if you don't identify with a mission statement, that's your sin, right? If you don't identify with the mission statement, then there's no reason why give him another chance. My point is, instead of looking at midot rachamim, it's this voodoo statement, understand? The spell. Say these magic words, right, and it'll work. If you understand where they're coming from, that totally flips it around. Why do we say midot rachamim in davening? In order to understand the nature of our relationship. Right? In order to enable, in order to achieve rachamim, if you understand the nature of your relationship, then you know how to ask, how to daven, what you have to do. And therefore, when you understand how and why midot rachamim were given, when you understand midot rachamim as a result of a complex relationship, and almost the impossible situation where you're getting something you don't deserve, and you realize you're the lopsided partner in a relationship, then when you come to daven, you're in a totally different mind frame, right? You're not coming to ask for something, you're asking for something you know you don't deserve. But if you want a way to daven, if you want an opening, a petach, of how to daven and what to think about and what to take upon yourself, then the idea is if you can prove to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you identify with the mission, and if you did something wrong, it's because you're human, and give me another chance because we can still get the job accomplished, right? Then there's a reason for rachamim. Again, my point is, it's super important to understand when you say midot rachamim, to understand them, right, as a definition of a very unique and complex relationship that Am Yisrael as a nation has with God and as individuals being part of Am Yisrael, right? We're privy to them, but realize there's a price to paying for them, right? And understanding that. And that understanding of what they're all about should certainly enhance tefillah and tshuva. That you understand why you need tshuva before tefillah. That's what Chodesh Elul is all about. Before we go and ask for tshuva, you have to make a case for yourself. And therefore, it's not just ni'ilah, not just saying the words, right? That's simply the culmination. It's a reminder. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's really reminding ourselves of what our relationship is all about. Its purpose, and how it works. Now, in an interesting way, again, we don't have time to talk about Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, right? Remember that key pasuk I told you about before? Hashocheinitam b'toch tumatam. What happens in Yom Kippur? Right? We're asking for that Yom Kapara, right? But we're talking about the very idea that we're getting Shekhinah even though we don't deserve it. Now, by the way, in Chumash, what happens? What's the next story in Chumash? Does the Shekhinah return right away? Moshe asked for the Shekhinah to come back right away. Did they travel to Israel the next day? Not so fast. What do they have to do? You have to sweat. You have to work for it. What do you have to do? That's the Mishkan. Understand? Basudli Mikdash, Veshachanti B'tocham. Without going to Homachok at Rashi Ramban, but what did Am Yisrael have to do? Right? In order to bring the Shekhinah back, you've got to work. Right? You've got to build something. You've got to work together. You have to go through rehab. And you know when the Shekhinah returns? If you ever learn Parshat Shemini, now you understand Parshat Shemini. Remember? What's Parshat Shemini? Remember? There's a whole set of korbanot you have to do with, will the Shekhinah come back? And it's a big question, remember? They do all the korbanot, and the Shekhinah doesn't come. Remember, Moshe goes in and asks, remember? And maybe it's because Aaron's fault, etc. Remember? And finally Shekhinah comes. And as soon as it comes, we get another tragedy. With Nadav and Avihu. It's not so simple. It's not this magic thing and that's it. It's complicated. And you just have to follow protocol. It's not an easy thing, but that's a topic for Chumash. Okay. I want to conclude with the answer to your question. Okay. Now, what happened? Right? If I explain myself well, maybe I didn't do it clear enough. It comes out, what relationship is better? What? No, is the first luchot or second luchot? It's hard to say what depends how you find better, right? Okay. What's better? What? Yeah, the question, what's the ideal? You know what the question is, basically? Is it better to live in Gan Eden or outside Gan Eden? Is it better to live in Gan Eden or strive to get there? You understand the question? Right? Is the ideal to be in Gan Eden or is the ideal to strive to be in Gan Eden? That's already class in philosophy, if you know what I'm getting at. That's Rabbi will take care of that. What? In real life. But Chumash does what? Chumash wants you to appreciate real life and your opportunity in real life. And what's it do? How could you, in order to appreciate the complexity of Rahim and Deen, like in math, right? I have a complex equation. What do I have to do to solve it? I have to break it into its components. Same thing with a vector, if you know physics or math, right? I have a complex relationship. In order to understand it, how do I have to present it? I have to present it from one view, right? Deen, right? In other words, to appreciate Midot HaRachamim, I have to begin with Midot HaDin first to appreciate it. Now, it sounds like Chet Ego had to happen. Right? But that's all. That's a very difficult question. Again, out of the scope of the shir. But it's a pattern in Chumash. And we'll see in a minute. I think that's what Chazal were getting at in a minute when we talked about Briat Olam. But in the end game, like the end relationship, that's life. Right? It's complex. It's got ups and downs. It's dynamic. Right? But to appreciate its complexity, right? The midot of Har Sinai were matim for Moshe Rabbeinu. They're not matim for Bnei Adam. But to appreciate them, we had to go through this. Right? It almost had to happen that way. Let me get what happened, basically. God had hoped that the relationship would be this intense and ideal. It didn't work. Right? What did God need to do? Put in a little sugar. Spice it up a little bit. Now, same thing with Gan Eden. He put man in Gan Eden, but it was bound to fail. That was right away. Now, what did Chazal say? Chazal were bothered by the fact in the first chapter of creation it talks about Shem Elokim, which is usually identified with Din. By the way, you know why Elokim means nature, if you know the thing. Nature goes by a set of laws. Right? Now, Shem Havayah is not only Rachamim, but it allows Rachamim. That's a personal God, a more intense relationship. Now, what did Chazal, why do we need two stories of creation? Right? One's with Shem Elokim and Shem Havayah. So what's the Medrash say? That's what you were talking about. Right? God wanted to create, right, the world with what? He wanted everything to be perfect. He wanted everything to be like a yaki, right? He wanted the world to work for yaki, right? Everything by a set of rules, everything follow normal. Great idea, Takaf. What did he realize? It's not going to work. And to make it work, what does he have to do? Now, that's a beautiful medrash on Perek Aleph and Perek Bet, but what's it based on, I think? It's based on what happens in Sefer Shemot. Because right? It's the exact same pattern in Sefer Shemot. I begin with an ideal, which is wonderful and great, and I can understand its purpose, but it's not realistic. Right? Or maybe it's not human, okay? But to make it happen, I need me at the rachamim. But to appreciate the rachamim that I'm getting, if I didn't set up first din, I wouldn't appreciate the rachamim. I want to conclude with something in Rosh Hashanah, what we say. Okay? These relationships, remember we have a relationship with God. Chazal used two, or actually three, there's different analogies that we use to describe our relationship with God. Right? There's the father-son relationship, and there's the master-servant relationship. If you remember after we blow the shofar, that prayer was Areset Sfateinu, Yerav Lefanecha, okay? And then we say what? Im kabanim, im kavadim, right? Right? We ask God to forgive us whether he treats us like sons or whether he treats us like servants. Okay? Im kabanim rachameinu, im kavadim, enenu l'chatzuliot. In other words, no matter what the relationship is, have rachmanis on us. But there's two types of rachmanis. The rachmanis the father has to a child, the rachmanis you have to an eved. Now, which of these relationships, which is like a father-son relationship and which is like a master-servant relationship? It's easy, right? The intense midat adin. I need the job done. Remember we talked about? I need the job done, right? That's a servant. The second relationship, right? The goal isn't so much to get the job done. The goal is to give you something to strive for, right? It's to play the game called the game of life, right? Now that's a father and a son, a father with a son or a parent with a child. I'll be politically correct now. Okay, a parent with a child, right? A parent with a child. What happens? You want the child to achieve. You want the child to grow. You want the best for the child. But you always give him a second chance because your goal isn't to get the job done, right? Your goal is for the child to grow up, to machanech the child. And therefore, if he does something wrong, you'll give him another chance. But you hope he'll understand he's getting a chance. Every once in a while, you can. But the way you treat, right, the quickness you have to use mercy is much quicker if it's a father-son relationship. Every once in a while, Master Rav Rachmanis on Eved as well. But it's more common you'll find between a father-son relationship. And therefore, our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is multifaceted. There's also a husband-wife analogy they use, etc. And therefore, in davening, when we ask for rachamim, right, no matter what mode we're playing in, no matter what aspect of the relationship we're dealing with, you know, we say what's called Maman of Shach. Right? Either way, right, we're asking for mercy, but that way. So hopefully, what do you call it? I hope you, it was a little bit, probably over time, yeah. Oh, way over time, sorry about that. The nature. Do you understand what we did? Okay? We try to follow the relationship. Now, how Hamidot Rachamim are part of a complex relationship with God, and hopefully by understanding where they're coming from. Again, I told you it was I thought it said do a 3 hours in 1 hour, 3 hours in an hour and a half. Okay. It's written up, by the way. If you want to see it on the website, it's there. If you want, in case you didn't take notes, but it's more in detail there. But if the idea is hopefully by understanding Hamidot Rachamim, it'll enhance not only tefillah, also enhance a person's what's called is ruchaniyut, and if you understand better your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they're using chumash, right, as a tool to understand a relationship, which is part of what Limud Torah is about. Okay.
Okay. I want to thank Rabbi Liebtag for, if I can use an analogy to continue, for making a temporary yirida letzorach aliyah. He had to make a yirida so we could have an aliyah. For those the Gemara in Makos, I want to thank you. Really, like I said, it kept me on a spiritual high for, I think, a very appropriate shiur as we head into Slichus and Yemei Hadin, we hope the Yemei Harachamim. We should all have a Ksiva v'Chatima Tova, a good year for us and for Klal Yisrael. There are refreshments. We'll daven Mariv in 7-8 minutes. For those who, I'm sure you saw the flyer, we have our next major, major program after Yom Tov. This is a full-day program starting at 9 in the morning till about 11 at night with a three-hour break and lunch. Everything that's, you don't have to come for all day. The details are on the website. They actually have to be updated. It's not the schedule as is, but it's enough to know to reserve on your schedule the 13th of October. We really have a great program coming up. And to all a good year, let us eat and drink, and we'll go upstairs and daven Maariv.